This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provides signature support. Your number, 877-217-5757. And our email, talk@talklouisiana.org. A reminder that at 2 p.m. today, Governor John Bel Edwards will stop by for his 56th Ask the Governor show. And, of course, much is happening in our world. And yesterday on this program, as in Tuesday, we visited with Glenn Gilbo of USA Today. And the story that that newspaper reported this week involves sexual misconduct allegations at LSU, and many football players are involved. And one of the organizations that's been in front on this story for some time is Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response here in Baton Rouge. Rachel Hebert is the CEO, and Morgan Lemondre is the legal director, a lawyer, and she is in studio. And again, if you would like to join the conversation, the number is 877-217-5757. Now, many of these allegations precede the current president, Tom Galligan, of course, and the current AD, Scott Woodward. And in a letter sent in 2017, as in April 7, 2017, from Rachel Hebert, president and CEO of STAR, to Coach Orgeron, and CC'd our F. King Alexander, then president, and Joe Oliva, athletic director at LSU, now gone, talking about this problem on the LSU campus, saying we've received several messages from survivors of sexual trauma and community members expressing concern about a presentation that has been indefinitely postponed by the LSU Athletics Department. And it goes on to say that star running back Darius Geis had sent out a tweet on his Twitter handle that read, "I support Connor Whalen," who was, of course, accused of rape and sexual assault of an LSU student. And LSU, as the letter continues, admitted last year that sexual harassment sensitivity and assault awareness training was necessary. And when asked about the hiring of the Dan Beebe Group to lead training of all student athletes, coaches, and support staff, President King Alexander told The Advocate, "We're implementing this in a proactive mode. Kudos to the leadership of the university for implementing this program. However, there's more work to do," wrote Rachel Hebert. And of course, now we have allegations that are subsequent to this letter. And LSU's Title IX policy says employees who receive notice of sexual misconduct must promptly notify the Title IX campus coordinator. The coordinator is then required, per the policy, to provide the person issuing the complaint with information on reporting options, pursuing criminal charges, health care, counseling, and available supportive measures. And that's when we bring in Morgan Lemondre. And Morgan, do you think this policy has been followed appropriately by Louisiana State University?
Well, thank you, Jim, for having me. I think based on what is in the USA Today article, and in fact, since that article, more survivors from LSU have come forward and posted on social media, and they're sharing their stories. And from what is being said, that is not, in fact, being followed.
It is not being followed. Why is it not being followed?
It's obviously multiple layers, depending on, I think, who the victims are reporting to, who is finding out about the allegations. A lot of people keep saying, oh, maybe there's a lack of training. I don't know that there is a lack of training. I think that when someone reports that someone they know is sexually abusing them or, you know, domestic violence, if it's someone they believe is valuable in some way, or if it's a friend, they hesitate to believe that what is being alleged is actually happening. So I think that was demonstrated in the article by USA Today, where one of the tennis players' fathers said that one of the football players punched her in the stomach. And he said, no, couldn't happen, wouldn't happen. So I think from this, it's not that there's a lack of training. I think people just have a hard time believing that people they trust, people they care about, are doing bad things.
And when we talk about LSU football, we're talking about the biggest brand in the state of Louisiana, not just the city of Baton Rouge. It is an enormously successful brand, and it's now got the handle of a national champion for 2019. That's not going to happen in 2020, but people get real sensitive when their athletic heroes are scrutinized for allegations that are hard to prove. In some cases, I'm sure there is a mistake on the other side, but often in these cases, we know that the woman who is the victim, and it usually is a woman, has to go through so much grief to come forward and take the grief that happens after coming forward and having their names out for the world to see and hear at some point, that quite often the portion of the activity that is unpleasant is more on the victim than on the perpetrator. And STAR is a certified, trusted provider of sexual assault support services in the state. One of those who was on the ground floor in helping this organization get going is the DA, Hiller Moore, who, of course, is assigned to investigate these matters. And often, Morgan LaMondre, it is very hard to get to the truth in a case like this, and a judgment call has to be made, and a DA, for example, a prosecutor, has to determine whether a jury would accept the evidence and convict a person for doing something wrong. All those factors have to be taken into place. And what about what can be done independent of charging somebody with a crime? Is there some ground that is there to address this without going to court?
Well, I think that one of the things that you see right now is that people are, I think you had a guest call in yesterday say, oh, everything needs to be investigated by police and go to the DA's office. The DA's office has a separate purpose from the Title IX and school administrative process. The school administrative process is for them to make sure that their students are safe on campus and for them to just simply not have the same classes as the perpetrator. And in this situation, it sounds like there was no investigation on the campus side of things to be able to come to some sort of resolution on campus. Like I said, the DA's office, obviously, they could potentially, there could be a simultaneous criminal investigation, but there is a different burden of proof. And not to get into the weeds, but the DA's office does need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a crime occurred, whereas on LSU's campus, it doesn't necessarily have to be conduct that arises to a criminal offense. So it could be harassing comments, you know, and passing. It doesn't have to be rape or sexual assault, but a lot of times, and then as you could see, there are instances where a criminal proceeding could overlap. I don't believe, and I think STAR would definitely take the position, we don't want any system in place where survivors are forced to do any one particular route. We don't want there to be a mandatory report to law enforcement if that's in fact not what a victim wants, but we do want survivors to be given their options, and once they choose the option they want, we want those investigations to be done thoroughly and fairly.
Well, when you were talking about incidents, you were meaning multiple incidents, right? Not a specific one when you were starting your statement as far as the allegations that are against LSU. Are you pointing to one particular incident, or are you speaking as broadly and saying there were multiple cases in which concerns, perhaps even crimes, were not addressed properly by the university?
Well, I think from the article, we can see that there were multiple incidents, multiple times when either allegations were not investigated thoroughly or even at all. There was a couple of comments about that, but I was making just more a broad statement.
877-217-5757 for Morgan LaMondre, who will be with us through this segment and the next, and there's time to get in with her. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Good morning, Henry.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Miss Morgan. You know, we talk about all this stuff happening at LSU. It seems to be part of the culture in college athletics, even high school athletics, and professional athletics. I mean, Look at the case of Jameis Winston. He was recruited by Jimbo Fisher out in Florida, had all kind of problems, a rape situation that had never been adjudicated. And now, unfortunately, he's playing for the Saints. Where are we going to draw the line on this?
All right, starting quarterback for the Saints. He played at Florida State, Heisman Trophy winner. Your thoughts about, well, you can mention Jameis Winston, but do athletes quite often get a break because of their prowess on the playing field?
Yes, they do. I think that's the problem, is that the culture in our society, we value the talent that is our football players are, and it's not just athletes. I mean, I think in general, we tend to not believe women who come forward, and there's a lot of stereotypes and myths. A lot of people think false allegations are pervasive. They are not. But I do think that athletes in particular get an extra break.
And there have been discussions about the Greek system as well. And we'll talk with Morgan LaMondre about that and more. Again, your number is 877-217-5757. And we're back with more Talk Louisiana in 90 seconds. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. It's a sensitive topic and one that some are reluctant to discuss publicly, but if you're so inclined, we'd like to hear from all of you who have something relevant to say. And in this case, I'm sure there are many listeners who do. 877-217-5757. A culture in America that some would say is one of toxic masculinity. We have a president who's accused of sexual assault in a department store against E. Jean Carroll, who's no nutbag. She's a prominent person in New York City, longtime journalist. Donald Trump was accused of sexually assaulting his first wife by her in a divorce action. And at LSU, several LSU football players are accused of sexual misconduct. And it goes from all-out rape to videotaping sexual activity and then sharing it with friends, taking photos of people and showing them without consent. All of those are inappropriate, of course, and some of them, if not all of them, are downright criminal. And should Louisiana State University act more forcefully? And a listener asked about, it's not just the football team, what about the Greek system? And the Greek system is largely white. In fact, most of the fraternities remain all white, even though they're on university grounds. And they, of course, systematically discriminate against having people of other cultures and races in their fraternities and sororities in many cases. And yet LSU condones that. And in these fraternities, we know that some of them have engaged in the same kind of misconduct that the football team is accused of. So is the football team being singled out because, of course, as I said, it's the biggest brand in Louisiana, or is this a campus-wide and perhaps culture-wide problem that is going on in our society, Morgan LaMondre?
Well, it's definitely a culture problem. I mean, right now we're seeing things from LSU because there was a big story and there was specific failure to do anything about it, and that's what we see right now. But, you know, over the past 5 years, we've seen other schools where there have been same or similar problems. We've also seen where fraternities have been sued. I think between alcohol-related deaths and injuries and sexual assault, fraternities are sued pretty high on those issues. And I think no matter where you see it, Darren Sharper from the New Orleans Saints, as the caller mentioned, Jameis Winston is now on the New Orleans Saints. We have a tolerance for sexual abusers because we just value them over the safety of others.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. A listener, Holly in the Garden District, steers me to a letter to the editor today from Lee Michael, who used to work for LSU and now is a fundraiser in South Carolina. And Michael, I'm reading his letter to the editor in The Advocate, says, never, ever hit a girl. If you do this, you're finished as a Gamecock football player. That's from a player's manual authored by Steve Spurrier when he coached at South Carolina and at Florida. Spurrier writes, Lee Michael did not have to hire a law firm to study Title IX's implementation at either university to issue this declaration. It was his personal code of conduct that he enforced. Steve Spurrier's father was a pastor, writes Lee Michael. Well, Lee goes on to say, what LSU lacks now is moral leadership. Where can it be found? And sometimes coaches admonish their players to act in one way and they act otherwise, but this is a case in which if it happens one time, it should be the end of the trail for a player. And too often, I think it goes down to what you say. If they're a good player and if they're a likable person, independent of these heinous acts, people give them the benefit of the doubt. And all too often, that benefit of the doubt is at the expense of victims. And who knows, people like this who do it once generally do it again and again and again. So what can be done now as we look forward?
Well, I think there needs to be some hard conversations about where LSU as an institution wants, how they want to present to the public. And I think that all too often people are scared to either get sued by perpetrators or they're, you know, football is money to LSU. And if they get rid of star football players, how does that affect their bottom line? Well, I think they need to evaluate where the bottom line truly is, and if is it at the expense of safety for its students? Because in the long term, people are not going to want to send their students to their children to LSU. And I think long-term goals, this school needs to consider that.
Again, 877-217-5757, and your email talk@talklouisiana.org. And as often the case on something like this, we get far more emails than we do phone calls, and we don't like just throwing out allegations without merit. And that's why this is a very difficult topic, because when you bring up somebody's name, you're tarnishing their reputation. And in some cases, as we know, that reputation, it can never be repaired. And a listener notes that we had this same kind of discussion when Brett Kavanaugh was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. It was aired in public view, and Brett Kavanaugh was believed by Senators Cassidy and Kennedy, and the victim who came forward is now called a liar by the President of the United States, Christine Blasey Ford. Is that the risk that somebody takes when they come forward, Morgan?
There's incredible risk to their safety, to their livelihood, because at this point, everyone, like you said, even the President of the United States, is branding her a liar. There is literally no benefit to survivors most of the time, especially when in the end they see that there is no punishment or nothing changes. And I think that's why you see a lot of victims not coming forward in general, because what we've seen also in research is that victims who don't present or don't come forward do better as far as mental health outcomes than the victims who do.
Patrick in Innisfil Estates, you're on with Morgan LaMondre, legal director for STAR. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Jim. I guess I have a critique here, but I heard you talk about the Greek life and you say that they discriminate. I don't see that that's true. A lot of the fraternity, I don't know if one fraternity that discriminates based on race. And then, you know, people are innocent until they're proven guilty. Just because someone makes an accusation doesn't actually happen.
Well, since you brought it up, why do you think the fraternities and sororities at LSU remain all white? Why is that the case?
I think it's like, you know, when I went to Catholic High in the lunchroom, okay, a lot of the black kids tend to sit at the same table. And white kids may sit. I think it's just how they grew up. They're comfortable with certain friends. Now, I personally sat at Ward Dunn's table. I was like the one white kid at the black table. It didn't bother me. But I remember, you know, this was back in the early 90s. They probably wouldn't say this nowadays, but I remember the teacher making a funny comment of why are you sitting at this table? And it, I guess it did feel a little weird at the time, but you know, I don't think that's as big of a deal now. I just think it's just people feel comfortable with who they grew up with.
Well, I remember interviewing David Duke once, and he said, Jim, people hang out with their own kind. And we know what that means. And there have been blacks who have tried to get in those fraternities and sororities because there are immense benefits of being a member and have been denied. So you can judge it any way you want to. And obviously I look at it one way and you do the other. And I'm glad you called because that's what we're about. We're about having multiple points of view. And Morgan, a listener asked, does sexual misconduct often go along with racism and misogyny and homophobic attitudes? Do they generally come in packages with people?
They definitely do. I mean, we call it, you know, the intersections of, you know, all of the various forms of oppression, as you mentioned. And I definitely think it doesn't mean that somebody who's racist is a rapist, but you definitely see a lot of crossover because, in general, it's a feeling of I'm better, I am entitled. So those attitudes definitely cross over.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, Morgan LaMondre, the legal director for sexual trauma and awareness and response. And a listener did ask how to contact your organization. Best way to do that, Morgan, is?
It's our hotline, 1-855-435-STAR.
Want to say it again one more time?
Yes. 1-855-435-STAR. You can also visit us online and social media.
And we'll be back with more.